As you are turning your Bibles to Ephesians 4, which will be the center of our study this morning, I want to join with Brother Glisson in welcoming you to our services. We're glad you're here. We would appreciate if each one would fill out an attendance card. This will help our elders, especially with our local members. And we are grateful that each visitor is here. We'd like to know you better. If you have comments or ways that we can help you, please indicate that, and we will try to do what we can to help. There are two basic reasons that I have chosen our particular study for this morning. One is because of many comments that I've heard recently, positive comments about our work here, in the sense of people saying there seems to be enthusiasm, there seems to be a good spirit of mutual encouragement. And I appreciate these comments about the work of the church and what's going on. And I think it's good for us to talk about the work of the church when things are going well instead of waiting until there may be some problems and then dealing with them from a negative standpoint. And the second reason is that beginning this afternoon at 2 o'clock, our elders have planned some open meetings the next three Sundays, including today, encouraging members to come to the activity center, to talk with them about specific areas of work, to make suggestions, offer ways that may be helpful. I think this is great. I commend the elders for doing this. I believe it is another step that will help us to have a bright future in the work here. Because of these two factors particularly, I've chosen the lesson that we announced in the bulletin as being church revival. We could have called it by other names. We might have talked about being more on fire for the Lord, being more involved in the Lord's work. There may have been other ways that we could have expressed the idea. But really, we're thinking today about what's important as we look to the future and the work of the church. I don't believe that there is a more important passage in God's Word before or after than the fourth chapter of Ephesians, when we start talking about especially the organizational idea of the work of the church and promoting in a positive way the growth of the church, both numerically and spiritually. Let's begin at verse 11, Ephesians 4. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Someone has said that most gospel preachers could take this fourth chapter of Ephesians and preach on it for an entire year, and I don't doubt that that could be the case. And there are many, many wonderful lessons that could be brought from the verses that we have shared this morning. But I want us to look at it from the standpoint of what is said here that will help us to identify what's involved in reviving the work of the Lord or stirring up the work of the Lord, getting us more involved in the Lord's work. In the first place, I want to suggest to you that it is important for us to have the right kind of policy in our work. Notice particularly in verse 13. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. The faith is a phrase that is used seemingly synonymously with Christianity, the system of Christianity. You remember, I'm sure, that the third verse of Jude says we are to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered. And again throughout the New Testament, reference is made to the faith. We want to be sure that we emphasize the faith that is talked about in the Bible. It is not enough just to do something. We want to do what God wants us to do. It is not enough just to be pleased with what we're doing. We want to, as we prayed a few minutes ago, not only to be pleased ourselves, but especially for God to be pleased with us in what we are doing. And so it is important that we have the right approach, that we have the right policy. I think this is also emphasized in verse 15. Speaking the truth, preach the word, exhort and also reprove and rebuke. Do all of it with the word of God. Preach the truth, that truth that came with the grace of God through Jesus Christ, John 1:17, which is able to make us free, John 8:32, and which is identified as the word of God, John 17:17. Yes, it is important for us to have the right policy. For the attitude of our leaders and the attitude of all of us to be that we want to go back to the Bible, we want to speak as the Bible speaks, we want to respect the silence of the Bible, we want to emphasize that great restoration plea that has been presented down through the years, and yes, we want to be concerned about error, as indicated here in verse 14. We want to be concerned about those who would bring in every wind of doctrine and would use the sleight of men and cunning craftiness to lead us astray from the truth. It is right that our leaders be concerned about false doctrine and identifying false teachers. And so the policy that is involved in the work of the church and the work of a specific congregation is important. And that policy, based upon what we have just said, is basically the idea of letting God's word be our final authority. That ought to be our main policy, our main approach to the work of the church. And our elders who lead us in the congregation are going to have to make certain policies in specific areas to help us to organize ourselves and to work together. They're the ones that rule over us, Hebrews 13:7 and 17, as those who watch for our souls, not in the sense of running over us, but leading us in that kind of authority. And therefore, from time to time, there will be policies determined within the framework of God's word that will help us to know where we want to go, where we are, understand where we have been, so that we might uphold the faith and the truth, be able to identify false doctrine, but mainly be able to promote the truth and to promote it in love. So in the first place, I suggest to you that policy is important. But again, look at Ephesians 4, and especially at verse 11. And from that verse, I would make the point that personnel is important. He gave some to be apostles. You are aware that there was a special group of men who were apostles for a specific reason and period of time. He gave some to be prophets, and there were some special prophets, especially those who had the gift of prophecy as one of the spiritual gifts in a special way that was used while the Bible was being written. But there were many who were prophets in a more general sense. That word really means one who speaks for another. And so there were those in New Testament times, as back in Old Testament times, who spoke for God. And in the early history of the church, there were those who were going out to speak for God, and in a sense, they were prophets. But then, in a more important vein, he says there were those who were evangelists. You and I have a tendency to talk about the preacher as the minister or a minister, when I believe in reality all of us as Christians are ministers in a sense. But having said that, I would also point out to you that the Bible teaches that there are those who use their time to publicly proclaim the gospel and to teach others and to evangelize the world. We have believed in that to the extent that we support men. I have the opportunity to be supported to where I can work in a sense as an evangelist. And I appreciate that opportunity. We believe that the personnel that's involved in the work of the church is important. Again, I would say to you that I appreciate very much the opportunity to work with the congregation in the capacity where I work. And I appreciate Mike Womble, who works mainly with our youth group, David Powell, who works to help coordinate the outreach that we have to the university students and the university work. I appreciate Gary McKnight and the work that he does as a part of our personnel, as a part of those who are involved in specific ways in the work of the congregation here. And I share with you in the comments that I hear from time to time about what an outstanding song leader he is. I find myself sometimes wishing I could lead singing like he does. I jokingly say to him sometimes, "You preach today and let me lead singing, and we'll make the congregation appreciate both of us." And I think that would work one way. I'm not for sure it would the other. But I am so thankful to have men like this that are personnel. They're part of the work in a specific way. I appreciate Winnell and Helen and Charlene and the work that they do in the office. Appreciate the work that's done by men like Lee Grantham, who does so many things and can do almost anything around this building and around the grounds. And I could go on and on about those that are involved as a part of the personnel. And so far I've been talking about those who are supported full-time or part-time in this. I appreciate our elders. I'm not for sure that I would want to work with a congregation like this if we didn't have an eldership like we have. I'm not for sure that I could effectively do what I would need to do if we didn't have the leadership that we have. And I'm thankful for our deacons. I believe the longer I preach and study God's word and observe the work of the church, the more I'm convinced that each deacon is very, very important. And the success of church revival and being able to do even more next year than we've done in the past is dependent upon each of the deacons accepting his appointed responsibility and carrying that responsibility so that the elders will have more time for shepherding, doing the work that is their number one responsibility in the Lord's work. Yes, I believe this passage points out that it is important for us to have the right kind of personnel. As time goes by, we may see needs for others, even those who will work in a specific area, like Mike is in the youth work, to help us to do what we need to do and to accomplish what we want to accomplish in the Lord's work. So personnel is important. In the third place, this passage points out to us that there are certain programs that may be important in the work. Look at verse 12. We need to do something that's going to help to perfect the saints. Doesn't that mean to help the Christians be more complete? That may involve a lot of things. I know this, that when the complete life of Jesus is mentioned in Luke 2:52, he talks about physical development, spiritual development, social development, and mental development. And it just seems that all of us need to develop in that same way, so it just stands to reason that there are going to need to be certain programs planned to help perfect the saints. Then he says the work of the ministry. Some congregations now in their organizational plan are calling the specific areas of work ministries. And I think that's a good term if we understand how it's used. The idea of ministering is serving, and every program that we have in the work of the church, in a sense, ought to be to serve, to reach out to serve our fellow man, and eventually through that to serve God. And notice also he uses this word work. That means that there are going to have to be some things done, some things planned. Yes, it's important to plan a budget. It's important to plan more than just a financial budget. There is to be something done for the edifying of the body of Christ. And you'll notice that not only is mentioned in verse 13, but look at the latter part of verse 16, which, as far as I'm concerned, sort of a summation of what's in this section of the chapter. The edifying of the body of Christ. You know, we ought to go home from this service and every service that we have feeling better than we did when we came. We ought to be encouraged. Not just by the worship itself. That worship is mainly to be sent to God, but there is the encouragement factor. But even before and after services, as we talk with one another, and just sitting on the seat with somebody else, And knowing that there's a person who loves me and I love him or her, and we have something that we share in our service to the Lord, I don't think these things are going to come about automatically. I remember preaching a sermon a few years ago that the title was, Somebody Do Something for Somebody Soon, Sometime. Somebody do something for somebody sometime. Now, if you want to get nothing done, you approach it like that. Somebody, never can find those somebodies. Do something, what? For somebody, whom? Sometime, when? Won't work like that. There just got to be some programs involved in the work of the church. So far, we've said three things, and you may have noticed that all three of these begin with the letter P. We need policies. Try to help us stay within the groundwork of God's Word, within the boundaries of it. We need personnel. We need key people in key places. We need programs planned where we know what we want to accomplish and have an idea of how we want to get there. But folks, I don't think either one of those three is the most important idea that's in this passage. In fact, I know of some congregations today that have a good policy. They want to be just straight down the line. They've even got some good personnel. Sound gospel preaching from the pulpit every Sunday. Sound and scriptural. And they've even got some programs. They've got a filing cabinet full of them. And they're dead. Or need to be in intensive care at least. Not doing anything. We haven't touched the key yet in this passage. Now don't misunderstand me. I would not for any reason minimize policy, personnel, and programs. I think if you've listened for the last few minutes, you know that those are important. But the key is in verse 16. The whole body, fitly joined together, by which every joint supplieth. That's the people. And until we get the people involved in the Lord's work, we'll never grow and accomplish what we ought to accomplish. I don't care if we have the policy and the personnel and leadership capacities and we have the programs. Until we get all the people involved, we will not accomplish what we could accomplish and ought to accomplish in the Lord's work. The key is with the people. Now let me use two or three examples and show you. The elders decide, policy-wise, that there needs to be a seminar to study about the process of aging. They set it up within the boundaries of God's Word to deal with it in light of the Scriptures, bring in the right personnel, and plan the right program. And if the people don't come, they don't get anything out of it. And several people have no earthly idea what was involved in those programs to try to help all of us to use our talents as we get a little older. We have a youth program. We have a good person in personnel. We have the right policy, guidelines to keep it where it ought to be. We have programs planned, and nobody comes. What would it be worth? Why is our youth program as successful as it is? It's because of the people. It's because of the young people that are involved. We have a great number of young people that are actively involved in our worship. It helps. It promotes. The work our young people are doing may be one of the most important works that we have. If we do everything that we can do, adopt a student, prayer cards, people to reach out to our university students, and then we as members are not involved or they as students are not involved, what's it going to accomplish? It's only when we get the people, and I'm not talking about a few people. I'm talking about all of us. It's only when we get the people together. We can establish the policy and the personnel and the program. We can plan a lot of things, even physical things around the building. But what will we accomplish if the people don't come? We can preach from the housetops about visitation and encouraging one another and getting into homes and getting out into the community. But we'll never accomplish that just with a paid personnel. It's only when we can get the people involved. If you'll think back, even as we've discussed our budget, remember where we've placed the emphasis on every one of us, and I think we're seeing results from that. I really do. I really think we're seeing results because we're beginning to get more people praying and thinking, meditating about how they can be involved and then getting involved. I mentioned how important we believe Gary is as a song leader. There's another factor, Gary, that makes our singing what it is here, and it's the people. You can put the best song leader up here. If Gary gets up here and we don't follow and we don't sing, what will our singing be like? I don't think I've ever heard singing anywhere in the world like I've heard inside the walls of this building. You remember those times when we've just been packed from wall to wall, and everybody, all those young voices and older voices blending together, some of the most beautiful singing I've ever heard. Why? The people. It's when the people do it that we will accomplish what we need to accomplish. Policy important? Yes, sir. Let's try to do things like God wants to. Personnel important? Have a personal reason for saying, I hope so. Programs important? Yes, sir. We need meetings like today in the next few weeks, and our deacons involved and our elders involved in planning and getting ready and giving us some guidelines. But folks, for the next 3 months, we can put up some of the best plans that could be put together on this earth. If we don't get involved as a people, we'll fail. The answer is with the people. And here's one thing I want you to get. When I say people, that means you. That means me. Policy, personnel, programs, people. I think there's God's plan for church revival. I believe we're seeing it, and I believe we'll see it more as we emphasize these points. Perhaps every one of us who's here this morning needs to sort of make a decision. All of us, most of us, are already faithful Christians in a general sense. Let's just make a decision that I'm going to look for ways to encourage others. I'm going to look for ways to be more involved. I'm not going to wait for somebody to ask me. I'm going to be asking for ways to be involved. There may be some here who need to be restored. At least ask for prayer, for strength, to help you be a better part of the people. And there may be some who've never become a part of the people of God who need to be baptized into Christ this morning. If either is your need, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
Up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways, working for the Master, giving him the praise, earnest in the vineyard, honoring his laws, faithful to his counsel, watchful for his cause. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who am I, O Jesus, who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in his work of love, leading others to him, lifting prayers above? Courage, faithful servant, in his word we see, on our side forever will this Savior be. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I.
Be seated, please. Number 174 will be the song before the Lord's Supper. Number 174.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this.